Hi, everybody. Here is another episode of Be Heard. And today I am very happy to have as my guest, Nancy German. And Nancy narrated my book, Unearthing My Irish Roots, which is on Audible and iTunes and Amazon and a few other places. And Nancy has been a voice actor for over 25 years. And she's voiced commercials for some big companies, Sony, Nissan, Neutrogena, a bunch. And Nancy, you've also enjoyed playing video game and animation characters, which is fascinating to me. Award nominated. What's the name of the studio? Taiko?
Taiko,
Taiko Studios. Interesting, very interesting. So, my book, of course, is what you narrated for me, The Unearthing My Irish Roots, which is my second book. But besides my book, what other books have you narrated?
I just finished one about financial fears for women, which
Oh.
was super interesting and really well done. And I'm gonna get the let's see. Also, I did some character work for Beatrix Potter, which was kind of fun. And I did four different women's voices for Anne of Green Gables, one of the offshoots of
Character.
Anne of Green Gables. So the Facing Financial Fears book is by Sarah Carlson. It's really well done. Just came out. But I love the character work, honestly. That's something I'm getting into more, which I didn't do in the beginning of my career. So it's just really fun to bring things to life, to bring stories to life.
Yeah.
And I just really enjoy it.
And when did you start doing this stuff?
Wow. It's been nearly 30 years. My son is 29. And
30 years.
25, that this is my first year full time in a while. I've been on the side for 25, 30 years max, but that was more sporadic at the time. But I actually began because one of my high school students, I was a counselor in schools, and she thought I was extremely funny. And she bugged me to join her casting roster. So I did on camera for a little while.
Oh,
And then
really?
driving in snowstorms and not getting the gig, I'm like, why am I doing that? So I found out I could record from my house, and then everything changed. So, but it's been sort of a zigzag journey, to be honest. It takes real persistence in this field to get where you need to go. And I still have a ways to go, but I'm doing well, so
I
I'm
think
enjoying
you
it.
are. I think, you know, it's funny. You talked about not having to leave your house now to do stuff. Like 2020 really amplified that
And X for me
opportunity.
as a person in a rural area, it's leveled the playing field. So I am actually
Absolutely.
auditioning in LA. I'm auditioning all over the world, just like anybody. So it's kind of great.
That's wonderful. Well, 2020 had a big effect on me, and this is how I started my late career as an author. And I always say to my husband, "Well, Grandma Moses, look at her. She had a late start."
That's exactly right. I just posted this morning about a lady who did the Tough Mother Run, which is like you climb over obstacles in the mud, all this stuff. She's 85 years old, so you're never too old
Wow, I mean,
to
no, you
start.
aren't. Did you watch the Academy Awards by
I
any chance?
did. I did.
Don't you love
Michelle's
what she
statement.
said?
Yes. There was a
Do
collective.
not say that we're past our prime. I loved it,
There's
but
a collective across the world. I think all women went, yes.
yeah, I put right away, I put it on my Facebook page for my book and my personal one. But and also a lot of the people that won were like first time winners and things like that, and people that had a dip in their career. The one
I like
Asian
the
guy,
underdog. I'm an
yeah, and
underdog.
Brendan Peters, like, oh, you know, I had all this stuff when I was young, and all of a sudden there was nothing for years. And I said, oh, God, that was so
It was an
inspiring.
inspiring one for me. Everybody I wanted to win pretty much won. Except the young girl from Everything Everywhere All at Once was phenomenal, and I'm sorry she didn't win, but
Well,
she'll
I
have
couldn't
time.
give them everything. They were winning
No,
everything.
she's got to work for a little more.
Yeah, it was really good. I really enjoyed that. So your next project, we just finished a project. So you don't have another one yet, do you? Lined
I
up?
don't, well, I do actually.
Oh.
They're personal projects though. My mother passed last, I have a long story about this, but my biological
Okay.
mother passed in January of last year. And she had written a book, co-written a book. So I'm working on that audio book to get that into the world as an audio book. And I've got the other author's permission. We're going to start that soon. But then I have my own book that I'm going to do at some point. I'm trying to figure out whether I should try to still get an agent first, do it self-publishing, or just do the audiobook and throw it out there and then see if I can do
it. Well, here's my 2 cents.
Yes.
I had tried to go the ordinary suggested route that we always went in the past, I guess, with getting an agent and putting out inquiries and all this stuff. And, you know, I got a couple, well, at least they responded.
Yeah.
You know, even to get a rejection letter is good because that means they at least saw what you put out.
That's right.
But then, I decided to self-publish when I found out Amazon had that Kindle Create app. Yeah.
Right.
It is phenomenal.
Awesome.
And I wrote the book as therapy, suggested by my therapist to do a chapter of the night, because 2020 really made a dent in my my moods and my, I have chronic depression and anxiety disorder, and my husband has Parkinson's, so I got a little cranky.
I can imagine.
So the first thing I found out was I moved to Florida like 20 years ago, and I had been on an antidepressant for like 30 years. Mm-hmm. And so I got a new psychiatrist here, and she said, "You're taking Zoloft." I said, "Yes." She said, "How long have you been taking it?" I told her, and she said, "And the dose?" She said, "You're taking the same dose for 30 years.
Yeah.
It never occurred to me that it's not working. It's like a placebo now.
Yeah.
You know,
we so change.
I had to change medications. I was told to go to therapy. What a big difference it made. And then the book thing, I published that, and then I found like a new love. And I'm on my third book.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, wow.
Yeah.
But that helped me. That Kindle Create is a wonderful app, and it just formats everything for you. Now, you have to teach yourself things.
Yes.
You know, you have to teach yourself, because my friends go, "How do you know how to do all that stuff?" I said, "I don't. I teach myself as it comes along. I find out." Now I'm trying to fine tune podcasting, because I've been doing these videos and posting them on my YouTube channel and Facebook and all that. But now I'm learning how to just take the audio part out and make it an MP3. And then I'm getting a podcast channel. And it's
there
like, oh my gosh.
But learning, you know, and growing all the time. That's what we got to do.
Yeah. if it's something you're interested in, it doesn't matter how old you are, or, you know, if your mind's not as bright as it was 50 years ago, you know what I mean? If you're interested. So anyway. All of us have stories of, I believe all of us have stories of overcoming obstacles to become the women we are today. And I'm wondering if there's something that you want to share that you're proud of overcoming, or a situation that may have seemed impossible at the time.
Yeah, well, this is perfect. It actually leads into my book because I'm an adopted child. I had a wonderful life with my family that raised me, but I was very inquisitive and always, always wanted to know, always. But I was from I was born in New Jersey, where it's a closed system. And so I had a closed file. I had my mother's first name and the state she was from and very little else. And I should never, ever have found her, but I persisted. And it took 43 years to find her. And I did. And from that, I found my siblings. I found my father, who's been passed. I got all my genealogical stuff. I got all the answers I needed to kind of, you know, resolve all of those things. And I just feel incredibly blessed, because technically I never should have found her. In fact, when we reunited, we called the adoption agency, and the lady said, "I ran to my file to see what I gave you, because I did not give you anything. And you still found her." I said, "Yes, because you don't know me, but I'm the most persistent person you will ever find."
And I can compete with you.
Yeah, I'm still the most persistent person practically you will ever find. And that's why I'm going after voiceover at the ripe age of 58.
Yes,
because exactly. Why not? Right. And I don't like people telling me what I can't do. So I do it. Almost not out of spite, out of challenge. So I'm very proud of the fact that I beat the odds. I found my stuff. I found my people. It's given me a lot of peace. And it all happened. And my mom and I had 15 years together, my bio mom and I. And then she passed. And I feel really good that we were able to kind of like have that resolution for each other.
Absolutely.
Yeah, she
It's,
said she walked around lighter after I came and said to her,
oh,
I've had a great life. I'm good. You know,
that's
thank
good.
you.
Yeah, because my dad was adopted,
Yeah.
and we grew up as Italian. He was lied to, and he was
Yeah.
told that his adoptee, or we call adoptive father, whatever, the man who adopted him, told him he was really his father, and made it sound like he had a child, like a, you know, no illegitimate child. I'm going to pause right here. I'm just going to pause. So I had my DNA. I sent it to Ancestry, and we grew up thinking that my father was half Italian and half Irish, and he hated the Irish. And my mother is full Italian, even. And anyway, it comes back, and it takes a long time, you know. And I open up the envelope, and it says, on your father's side, your father is 100% Irish.
Hardly anyone's 100% of anything. That's
Never, I
amazing.
know, but he
Right.
was. And both parents, biological parents, came from the same county, County Mayo in Ireland. That's not where they got together, okay? And so now I start researching this and getting other people on the tree that I know they'll tell you how many centimeters or whatever millimeters of linkage DNA you have in common, I guess. And I found a first cousin, and found out her father, who is my father's half brother, grew up 6 blocks away from us. 6 blocks away from us.
Isn't that
And my
crazy?
father never knew it, that he had a brother.
I'm sad for him that he never knew. Although if he hated the Irish, it might have been really tough. If he found
Well, yeah.
I'm 100%.
Yeah. And so then I started writing that second book, because now I found out such stuff that I didn't know, because I wasn't really interested in Irish history
Yeah.
before that. And it turned out I traced back on both sides to the 18th century. And my book is a semi-fiction historical book.
Yeah.
And why it's semi-fiction is the names are right, who they married, where they lived, all of that stuff. But I made a little story up for each of them.
Yeah. You have to fill in the blanks a little
I
anyway,
did. So I
right?
kind of made up what they did, how they met, whatever, until I got into the 20th century, and then I had
You
more
had the
legitimate
information.
facts. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it came out very interesting for me. So I think my biological grandmother was right, the way it reads, from what I've learned about my biological grandfather. So it's interesting, though, because now I have this first cousin, and we're talking all the time and texting all the time.
Yeah,
Like, you
it's
know.
amazing. I mean, I've lost two of my sisters since I found them, and they're younger than me.
Oh.
But I had still have two brothers, and my father was a very charming man. So we assume there are more out there. He was Stephen Stills' manager at the height of CSNY, so we think that probably there's more, you know. But no, to me, I love going to, like at night, I'll get on Ancestry and go down different rabbit holes to different places and kind
I
of
call it the
see where it
same
goes. It's
exact. I
really
always say
fun.
down the rabbit hole. I say that all the time. But what I did is with my tree, I just went vertical. I try not to go horizontal. So now you're getting into cousins, and I was trying to do it the direct line. And I think it's very interesting that both families ended up in Scranton, Pennsylvania, from Ireland, not having any linkage in County
You wonder
Mayo.
what how those decisions were made at the
Yeah,
time, you
at the
know.
time. Well, I know it seems like everybody ended up like in New York, Philly, or Boston, because they were harbors, ports where they got dropped off. And then from there, they would have relatives maybe that had already come earlier and then migrated there.
Or maybe like promise of work. Sometimes people would say, oh, hey,
Yes,
they're hiring here or you know, whatever. But
yes.
no, I'm just so grateful because I know in many situations it doesn't end well when you find your biological people. You know, you're a secret. You're a secret. You're a dirty secret usually.
Oh, well, my
So
dad, you know, my dad, it was so funny because growing up on his supposedly father's side, who he thought was his Italian biological father, who wasn't, that side of the family didn't really bother us that much. Now I know why. And then in researching the book, I had people reach out to me to give me more facts, and they said that Mr. Tallow, that's the man who adopted my father, and he was married. His mother wasn't too happy about the whole thing, for sure. And his sisters, no, not his sisters, I'm sorry, his cousins worked in the orphanage. And they knew my father from the orphanage, and he was a cute little boy. He was 4 years old, which really upsets me that this man, if that really was his child, that he would leave him there for 4 years. But it wasn't his child. And people weren't adopting a lot back then. You know, this were back in the 1920s, 30s.
There's always a stigma to it. I mean, even my grandparents, I was sort of special because I was the only girl of all the cousins, but they still were weirded out by the fact we were adopted. They just really didn't know what to do with that. You know, we were nice kids, but they just were like, oh, you know,
It
strange.
never, you know, I never cared. I remember when I was early 20s, and my mother said, "Here's your father's biological mother," because she had died, and her obituary was, so she showed me her picture. So then I knew who she was. Excuse me. They didn't tell me till after she died. So
And you're like, I missed her.
it's odd because oh gosh, Nancy, when I started the research, I found out almost the whole my whole block, kids I was friends with, half of them were my cousins. They were distant cousins,
But you're
but
related.
the DNA thing is amazing.
The DNA thing is amazing. My mom and I, having never seen each other for 43 years, had the same books on our shelves, had miniature dollhouse stuff we both
Oh my
did. I
gosh.
mean, and then my dad read big fat history books for fun, and I do too. So is there like a gene for that stuff? You know, because I was, and my brother and I sat down at a table to eat for the first time, and his kids were there, and they were laughing. We laughed the same. We have the same mannerisms. We have the same interests, and we've never been together. So we could be a study.
I went to Italy twice and looked up, well, the first time I went, well, actually both times I went, I still believe the lie that my father's father, you know, came from Sicily and everything. So those people became a big part of my life. And then I went to visit my mother's side, who definitely are biologically related. And I met people over there and I said, "Oh my God, you look just like my Aunt Pauline." You know, like the look, the one, my cousin's daughter, I said, "You look just like my granddaughter, Vanessa." Like, it's amazing.
It's eerie. It's very eerie
It
how that happens. And you can't even explain it to yourself. Like, I never found anybody I looked like until I found my family. So it's pretty exciting
It is
because I mean, I
exciting.
have that face that people are like, oh, you look like my aunt, you look like my sister, you look like somebody. But I never found someone with my features. And we all had his eyes. All of
Oh
us
my
have
gosh.
his eyes.
Now, were your biological mother and father together, or was this like a
It's hard to tell because they were college, it was a college fling of some sort, but my question is whether it was just a one night stand or not, because she knew a lot more about him than you would. She knew his
They
religion.
weren't together when you found them.
No, well, he had passed. I
Oh, he
missed
had
him by
passed.
2 years,
And they
sadly.
had never gotten married.
Oh no, they were like, it was like a party in New Orleans where they met. But that's one of the first things I wanted to know, though, is if she was assaulted. I said, I will never ask you again if you were. And she's had a cigarette in her fingers, and she goes, "Oh, honey, no, we were having fun." I'm like, "How come you remember that, but you can't remember all this other stuff?" You know. So it was a challenge to find him as well. And the way I did that was to ask her permission to talk to one of her friends, and I said, "Maybe she'll remember something," you know. And that was really helpful because those two women knew my father's brother and knew his name, and we narrowed it down in this big city of New Orleans to two guys it could be.
Now,
So
once you did the DNA ancestry too, right? Okay, so now have you
Unfortunately,
found
I was
him?
able to, because my father had passed, my sister had done DNA with him before he passed, which was great. So then I did DNA with her to prove I was his, because otherwise it would be hard to know, you know.
Oh, okay. All
Yeah,
right.
that's how we did that. And my mom was great because she also gave her DNA because you needed both, you know.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah.
yeah.
That's
So I was really
great.
happy to get that. And my other sister had never done DNA, so I pulled her into that so she could know for sure. Although we look just like him, so it's kind of silly, but you know, just to know.
No, that's wonderful. I mean, the
Yeah.
things we have available to us today, it's amazing. And I think getting back to the writing part, I think about authors like Shakespeare. I mean, it doesn't matter how great the writing was, he
Yeah.
wasn't discovered, he didn't make money.
Right.
It's like he could a lot of people got discovered after they died, and
Yeah,
it's
poor
like,
Edgar Allan Poe, you know.
yes,
It's
I
like
love,
that.
he's one of my favorites.
Me too. Everybody loves him, and now he would be a, you know, an icon, but he's
Yeah.
penniless when he died. So sad.
And even now, I have to say, like, I was able to self-publish and I'm doing marketing and I'm doing all that stuff and I like doing it. It's work, but I like it. And like, I'm doing pretty good. Like, I'm getting royalty checks. They're
That's
not
awesome.
huge. They're
Yeah.
not huge, but 1 month it might be 200, 1 month it might be 22,
Yeah. Right.
But what gets me is, if you're well known, if you're already a celebrity, you put out a book, oh, it's number one and it sold
Yeah.
a million. And did you ever
Yeah.
look at some of these books?
They're not well done.
No,
No.
not really. And I'll brag a little bit. I have 42 five-star reviews on my
Nice.
first book. And it's like, wow. And then I go read another book that they're saying is so wonderful. And I think this is even well written. This
Yeah.
is not well written,
No. These days it's
Anyway.
about your presence online and all
Yes.
of that and whether
Well,
you're known and
exactly. So that has forced me to go on TikTok and things that I normally wouldn't on. And it's really hard because
Yeah.
I don't have time to, I mean, I take care of my husband.
Yeah.
I'm very involved in my church. I also have like a community group that I'm involved in. And that's so my spare time really is working on the literature and all that stuff. But
Yeah.
I like it and it's good for me because it keeps my identity strong.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times when a woman becomes a caretaker for a parent or a spouse, they lose their identity.
Yeah, it's true. I did that for my other mom who got dementia, and we had her in our house for 3 years, and it was tough. It was really
No,
tough.
yes,
Yeah, she was a
and
sweet, like my mother who raised me was like the happiest little sweet person you'd ever imagine. But even that was hard, you know, because you
yeah.
become the nurse versus the daughter, and there's those
Well,
lines, and it just gets weird. And
exactly.
yeah.
So my husband is my third husband, but I'm with him 34 years. So I
Yeah.
always say, that shows it was them, not me, the
Yes. Right.
and the other two, they didn't want to leave me or let me leave them. They were like, not happy about it. But this time we're together, it's like I finally had someone I could depend on that took care of me, which I
Yeah.
didn't have the first part of my life. And anyway, he gets Parkinson's fine, but then it's progressive, and I think he's in stage three, and he might be going to stage four soon. You
Yeah.
don't know what Parkinson's. You just
No.
wake up one morning, it could be different,
That's a terrible disease.
But he had brain surgery for it.
Oh, he did.
And with the brain surgery, they put a battery in his chest, which is connected to wires that go into his brain. And a couple weeks ago, without warning, the battery died.
Wow.
Now he was as if he never had surgery done. It was horrible. He couldn't hold a fork and he couldn't do anything. I had to help him get into bed and it was just awful. But it made a big dent in his way he felt about
Yeah.
himself because he
Yeah.
got scared. He
He
got
was
really
feeling
scared.
pretty good probably before
He
that. I mean,
was doing
yeah.
really well. He had trouble buttoning his shirt, like certain things, but and like tying his shoes. So we just got Velcro shoes, and I would like button his shirts and leave the top two open so he could go over his head. Like, you
Yeah, you're
deal.
adjusting.
Yeah, you adjust each thing. So when he saw something, he was so bad, he was so upset. And so finally, took a couple weeks, but we got the new battery, and he was back to the way he was. And I said, now you know it was a good idea to get that brain surgery, right?
Yes,
But
yeah.
I said, honey, I had helped him get in bed physically, like push him in and stuff. And I said, I have to tell you now, look at you ever get that bad, because it is a progressive disease, I'm going to have to get some help. I'm going to have morning and night give a couple hours. And I said, because I can't physically do this.
Now lifting is really bad. Yeah.
Oh, I wasn't even lifting. He would get in
Right.
the bed, but his legs would be curled up, and he'd have to get him to straighten them and then push him
Yeah.
into the center. Oh. Anyway, but I knew he felt really bad and depressed. So the other day I gave him a hug and I said, honey, you took really good care of me for 34 years. I think I
Yeah.
can take care of you for the next 20.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's
I'm
nice.
74. I mean,
Yeah.
20 years,
You look
how
good,
long ago
Marie,
to
for
go? I look good for
74.
74. Thank you. Thank you. And I didn't have any work done.
Me
And
neither.
it's so funny you said that, because my minister, who I'm very friends with and very close to him, he had said to me after my book and everything, he said, you have really blossomed in the last couple of years. I said, I think 2020 just changed a lot of people,
Yeah.
like made them think and do different things. So at least four times in the last month, I've had a woman at church come up to me and say, you keep looking younger and younger. Did you have something done? Oh, I'm insulted.
You're
I
like,
said,
no, it's just my
what?
natural exuberance shining
That's
through.
what it is. I said, that's what it is. But it's so funny. But
Yeah.
so this whole thing with writing we have this connection with the adoption thing. I don't know how my dad would have taken the fact to find out that that man was not his real father.
Yeah.
And I think that I don't know what how the wife how it was broached. I guess they couldn't have children and they wanted children. I
Yeah.
think it was his idea, because they want, macho Italian men, you had a son, young
Yes,
son.
right.
And but my grandmother that I never really knew her. Both those grandparents died. The father died before I was born, and I think I might have been five or six when the grandmother died. But she used to tell him in Italian, "Go back to the puttana that shit you out."
That's so sad.
Nice thing to tell a little kid, right?
Wow. And he probably for 4 years he was like he didn't bond with people because he was in the orphanage. So,
Exactly.
yeah.
So my father
Horrible.
was an alcoholic, and
Yeah.
I think he had other issues too that were unresolved.
Yeah. I think adoptees do. I mean, I look at my siblings even, and my one sister who passed unexpectedly and quickly and had kind of overdosed on the meds she was prescribed because she couldn't handle them. She had a horrible life compared to me, and she had more mental health issues. She had more problems, you know. So I think when you're adopted, it comes with this kind of baggage in a way from the beginning that you're not wanted, and you don't know why, or you might know a little
Oh,
bit, but you don't know why, you know.
no.
So,
I think it was, a horrible situation for him,
yeah.
and he did the best he could. The alcoholism, of course, he was self-medicating his
Yeah.
pain. And in that first book, I talk a lot about nurture versus nature and something else called the third factor, which is we could get into another time. But basically, even if nurture and nature are involved and it looks like you're doomed, there's something else. And I think I had that, which I rose above both of those things, my genetics and my environment, growing up in an alcoholic home. And I think some people have that and some people don't.
Yeah, and I
If
think for
you,
me, my genetics are a lot of alcoholism on both sides, a lot of mental health issues on both sides.
yeah.
And I think I'm so because I had a stable, great, loving family, it kept me from going into those places,
You have the
honestly, you know.
nurture part.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I had great nurture where my siblings didn't
We
have necessarily that.
are going to have another session because we're running out of time.
Sure, that's okay.
And we're just getting to the good stuff. So
Right.
we'll set something else up again and we'll talk about all this stuff more. Because I
Sure.
really enjoyed it. That
Because I've
was great.
also, just to know about me, I'm also a clinical social worker. I've been one for 30 years.
That's
So
amazing.
I'm a
Yeah.
therapist. Not practicing at
Well,
the moment.
we are going to talk again. It's okay. We'll set up another
Yeah,
session.
that'd be great.
I think it'd be great because so much to talk about.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it was great getting to know you a little bit. And
Yeah.
gee, maybe you want to narrate my next book. It's called The Relentless Quest for Serenity, and it's a book of essays on surviving
Yeah.
as a woman. And I'm going to send you maybe a couple chapters.
Sure.
Would you like that? And then we'll get
Yeah.
back and talk about that too.
That'd be great.
All
I
right.
hope I have time to do it right now. That's the only thing.
Well, that's
Oh,
okay. It's not finished yet.
good. All right. Good. We
I
had some
started
time.
then. All right. Thank you so much for coming. Thank you, whoever's listening to this, and we'll see you again next
Yeah,
time with
great to meet
another
you in person.
herd. All
Take care,
right.
Marie.
Peace
Bye.
to Nancy. Bye. Okay, I stopped it.